Okay, Alexander, we have a lot to cover. We have a lot of news coming out of the Flynn case. The Flynn case. It is extremely ironic that it was Sullivan's absolute hatred for Michael Flynn and the orders that he appears to have received from Obama to delay this case, that we now have all kinds of evidence being brought out into the open. The title from Zero Hedge says, "Get Trump, FBI agent from Mueller team says Flynn case was politically motivated, quote, dead end. Others bought misconduct insurance." From The Federalist, "Trump was right. Explosive new FBI texts detail internal furor over handling of Crossfire Hurricane investigation." Alexander, this is one story, but it's kind of got two parts. The one part are the FBI texts, specifically from one agent, I believe, who was saying that the whole thing was a complete sham, an absolute complete sham. The other side of the story is that all the people on the Mueller team, all the people that were involved in this sham, were taking out misconduct insurance on the U.S. taxpayers' dime. So, Alexander, let's tackle these two stories.
Can I just say, this is explosive stuff, and you're absolutely right. We have Judge Sullivan to thank for all of this. I say that because I'm sure we would have got this information sooner or later, one way or the other. But the fact that Sullivan prevailed before the D.C. Court of Appeals and is still persisting with his intention, it seems, to draw this Flynn thing out as long as he possibly can, has given Sidney Powell the perfect opportunity to make further submissions on Flynn's behalf, which contain all of these texts and emails and things of that kind. And they show an absolutely disastrous picture. They show a deeply politicized investigation, clearly being conducted within the FBI and the Department of Justice in order to basically knock Trump out, get him out of the White House. And they also show that certain people within the FBI were in absolute uproar about this, that they were deeply concerned about the deeply politicized nature of these investigations, and that they were very, very worried about the direction that Director Comey and Deputy Director McCabe were taking the FBI. And by the way, there's I personally have a very great interest in all this information, because I was the subject of what now turns out to have been a piece of disinformation. Back in the summer of 2017, I read a news report that people within the FBI were taking out misconduct insurance, and I wrote a piece on the Duran about it. So, you know, this, the fact that they were taking out this insurance was being rumored or talked about way back in the summer of 2017. But we were led to think at the time that this was in connection with the investigation of Paul Manafort. And that is what I wrote in my article. Now, it is quite obvious that someone in the FBI, I'm going to make a guess that it was Comey, was concerned about the fact that all of these people were taking out misconduct insurance, was worried that it would all leak out. And in order to try and preempt that leak, misdirected us into thinking that it was somehow connected with the case against Manafort, which was, as we know, successful in the end, as opposed to the case against Flynn, which was not only deeply political. I mean, the Manafort case was also political, but which was also completely unfounded. So, you know, this is one instance when, you know, I myself, the so-called Oracle of London, was intentionally misled by a disinformation campaign orchestrated by someone within the FBI. And I would personally love to ask Director Comey about this. Now, note some other extraordinary things. These messages that are passing around within the FBI, there is real concern about what might happen if a new attorney general comes in and starts to look at what is going on. And what do they do when Trump is inaugurated? They orchestrate, these are the same people within the DOJ and the FBI, they orchestrate a campaign within the Justice Department and the media to get Jeff Sessions, who is the new Attorney General, to recuse himself. And foolishly and wrongly, and to Trump's huge anger, Jeff Sessions agrees. In fact, Jeff Sessions, if I may say, it's now quite clear, should never have agreed to that recusal and was basically going along with this campaign against Trump. And I've always felt that now the evidence is quite clear that he was a false friend. But, you know, you can see what's going on. A huge concern within the FBI. Lots of people very angry at the way in which this investigation against Flynn is being conducted. Lots of people apparently very angry about the whole Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Complaints, not just from one person, as I understand it, from many people within the FBI about this, and people within both the FBI and, of course, the Mueller team rushing off to get themselves misconduct insurance because they are worried that this is a political and inappropriate and wrong investigation. Thank you again, Sidney Powell, for doing such a marvelous job. You are clearly getting some help from someone within the Justice Department because clearly some people, some concerned people within the FBI and the Justice Department are helping you by providing you with this information. I would like to believe that this has been done officially and that this has been green-lighted as part of the joint submissions that the Justice Department and Sidney Powell are making to get this conviction of Flynn's reversed. And last but not least, thank you, Judge Sullivan. I never thought I'd ever say that, but thank you, Judge Sullivan, for making this possible now, because otherwise, I suspect we would not have heard about this, all of this information, until Durham provided his report, which, as far as I know, might be many months away. Perhaps after the election. I mean, there's some news about Durham, which we might touch on briefly. But I mean, that investigation seems to be progressing at the rate pace of a snail. It seems to me that Sidney Powell is doing Durham's work for him at the moment. I'm sorry to say that, but it looks to be true. But thanks to her, we have all this information in the public domain now.
All right, here's a tweet from Molly Hemingway from The Federalist. It says, Judge Sullivan and the D.C. Court of Appeals are turning out to be the unintentional heroes of the Flynn saga. In their unseemly quest to destroy Flynn, they refused to let the DOJ drop a case. And now we're getting some of the most explosive documents about the special counsel probe. Here is one document via Fox News. Let me read you how Zero Hedge has summarized it, and then I'll read you what Fox News is reporting. In one case, FBI agent William J. Barnett said during a September 17 interview that he believed Mueller's prosecution of Flynn was part of an attitude to, and I quote, get Trump, and that he didn't want to pursue the Trump-Russia collusion investigation because it was, and I quote, not there, and, quote, a dead end. This is from Fox News. Barnett, during his interview, detailed his work at the FBI and his assignment to the Bureau's original cases against Flynn and former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Barnett said the Flynn investigation was assigned the codename Crossfire Razor, which was part of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, the Bureau's codename for the original Trump-Russia probe. Barnett told investigators that he thought the FBI's Trump-Russia probe was, quote, opaque, end quote, with little detail concerning specific evidence of criminal investigations. Barnett thought the case theory was supposition on supposition. The 302 stated and added that the predication of the Flynn investigation was, quote, not great, and that it was not clear what the persons opening the case wanted to look for or at. After 6 weeks of investigating, Barnett said he was, quote, still unsure of the basis of the investigation concerning Russia and the Trump campaign working together without a specific criminal allegation. That is from Fox News and from the Federalist Alexander. To confirm everything that this agent said, the title from the Federalist says, Breaking Declassified Susan Rice Email Confirms Michael Flynn Was Personally Targeted in the Oval Office Meeting. Newly declassified portions of a key Susan Rice email confirm that Michael Flynn was personally targeted during a January 5 Oval Office meeting with Obama. I will put a link to that declassified Susan Rice email as well, which in summary shows that this was all about number one, getting Trump, and number two, getting Flynn, or maybe number one, getting Flynn, and then number two, getting Trump. Alexander.
Well, this is absolutely right. Now, we've homed in some time ago on this extraordinary meeting which happened on the on January 5th, 2017. This is, remember, 15 days before Donald Trump's inauguration. Remember who is there. Obama is there. Other people who are there. Susan Rice is there. Joe Biden is there. Comey is there. Sally Yates is there. It's not absolutely certain, but I personally think, and I know this is now the growing opinion, that Peter Strzok, for some reason, is also there. Well, he's not for some, I mean, there is a good reason why he would have been there, because he was obviously the person who was in charge of actually carrying out what I'm going to call very straightforwardly the hit. It was a hit. It was a legal hit against Flynn. And what were they doing? They were definitely talking about it. They were plotting it, if you like, but the hit against Flynn. We know that there were discussions about the Logan Act. I've expressed my own opinions about that. I've expressed my own opinions that the Logan Act did not originate with Biden, but with Obama. Because as a constitutional lawyer, he's the one most likely to have known about this. I've also expressed my view that Susan Rice's famous memo that she wrote on Inauguration Day was intended to provide a cover story. And now we are starting to get more of the evidence about that meeting, this absolutely key meeting, coming out. There was a hit against Flynn, and it was intended to lead to Trump himself. No question about it. That was the trajectory. They were going to hit Flynn. They were going to publish the dossier, the Steele dossier, which was, as we know, a load of nonsense. And then that was going to lead afterwards to the whole to Trump. The whole Trump administration unraveling. That was the plan. It came unstuck. They got Flynn. They managed to maneuver Flynn's resignation in the most shabby of circumstances. But where they failed completely was in blackmailing Trump. I think what they expected would happen is that Comey would come along, confront Trump with this extraordinary story about what supposedly happened, in Moscow at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Trump would panic, and then they would either use that to get him to resign or withdraw, or who knows what. or they would arrange afterwards based on things that he said to get him removed through some kind of impeachment process. But that was the plan. That was how it was intended to work out. It didn't work out that way. So they were going to take away Flynn, weaken Trump by removing Flynn, and then they were going to move on to Trump himself. But it didn't happen. And the result is that Trump is still in the White House. He's still campaigning. He's going to be up against Biden in a few days' time. The plan to get Biden pulled from the debates has not materialized. I wonder whether Trump is going to ask Biden at one of these debates about what he discussed with the president, in other words, Barack Obama, on the 5th of January. Probably not. Probably the advice is against doing it, but I'll be interested anyway. I personally would love to ask Biden what was going on at that meeting. I'd love to ask not just Biden, of course, but all of the other people. And I think it is high time that we started getting those questions asked. And it is high time that Barack Obama himself was called before Congress and investigators and had questions asked of him. I think if that ever happens, when that happens, if that happens, then I will know that these investigations that we've been hearing so much about by Barr, by Durham, by various other people are actually in serious and in earnest, because I'm having growing doubts about that. But thank you again, Sidney Powell. Thank you again, who is ever providing all this information. Thanks, Sarah Carter, because she's playing a big role in publishing all of this. And thanks also to that FBI officer who has had the courage to come and speak out and tell us about what was going on. Opaque, by the way, to describe Crossfire Razor and Crossfire Hurricane, supposition upon supposition, as he said. That doesn't even come close to describing it. This is invented. This was in an investigation of around invented and fabricated facts, invented and fabricated by people who were determined to prevent Donald Trump becoming president of the United States.
It was a coup d'etat.
It was a coup d'etat.
And I think we said, real quickly, Alexander, before you jump in, I think we said it 3 years ago that it goes all the way up to Obama.
Yes.
In publications that we wrote. And then if you go back through our library of videos, I think if you get to like the earliest videos of when we started to cover Russiagate in video format, you'll hear us saying that it most likely goes all the way up to the Oval Office.
You absolutely will hear us saying that, because we worked it out right from the start. I mean, it bears all the hallmarks, I should say. All of this bears all the hallmarks of somebody who understands the legal system extremely well, and not just the legal system, but the law. Somebody who wants to construct a case, somebody who has all the levers of control at their hand. And the only person who really fits that picture is Obama himself. Now, you know, no doubt he has his own defense to make. He can come forward and explain exactly what he was doing. Notice he said nothing about the meeting on the 5th of January 2017. He's left it to Susan Rice to carry all the water for him, which is absolutely typical of the way Obama operates.
Yeah, well, we've got Susan Rice's email, and it implicates Obama. Obama wanted to know from Comey and from his entire team, actually, if they could find something to connect this Russia meddling with Flynn and eventually the Trump White House. I mean, it's like I said, I'll put a link for that email in the description box. It's right there. Now, it's unredacted. It's not redacted.
Now, bear in mind that we've also learned from all of these emails and texts that the original investigation of Flynn was closed in November 2016. So he'd been cleared. And then somehow, mysteriously, this investigation is reopened. Based on what? Well, the fact that he has some conversations with Kislyak. Well, we've now seen the transcripts of those conversations with Kislyak, Kislyak being the Russian ambassador. And they are absolutely innocuous. There's nothing wrong in the text of any of them. On the contrary, it comes out very, very clearly that Flynn was a patriot acting on behalf of the United States. He comes across as a very decent, very straightforward, perhaps in some ways less than worldly man, somebody who understands, no doubt, the world of military intelligence and military affairs, but who is completely out of his depth in the intrigues that are going on in Washington. I mean, he even says to Kislyak at one point, you know, that I want to make it absolutely clear to you that I'm speaking to you not as a diplomat or as a politician, but as a soldier. I mean, he says that. And they went after him, a decorated U.S. soldier who had fought for the United States on the field of battle in the Middle East. In Obama's wars.
It's absolutely disgraceful. Hey, let's go to the insurance part, and then we'll maybe touch briefly on Sarah Carter and McCabe a little bit, because you mentioned that in the opener of the video. So here's a tweet from Leslie McAdoo Gordon. Wow, and I mean wow, jaw-dropper. CIA analysts buying professional liability insurance for Flynn investigation is wow. Holding open, reopening case to go on a fishing expedition with national security letters is also a stunner and unacceptable. Again, wow. Now here's the conversation the FBI analysts had regarding the insurance. I'm taking this from Zero Hedge and Just the News, which is the publication of John Solomon. Insurance over conspiracy theories. Another revelation from documents in the Flynn case comes in the form of text messages released on Thursday in which agents bought liability insurance, fearing they would be sued over an investigation into Flynn based on, quote, conspiracy theories. And here we get to the conversation between the analysts. Quote, we all went and purchased professional liability insurance, one analyst texted on January 10, 2017, 10 days before Trump was inaugurated, according to Just the News. Quote, holy crap, end quote, responded a colleague. All of the analysts too? Yup, replied the first analyst. All the folks at the agency as well. Can I ask, who are the most likely litigators, responded a colleague. Quote, as far as potentially suing you all, end quote. Ha ha, who knows? I think the concern when we got it was that there was a big leak at DOJ and the NYT, New York Times, among others, was going to do a piece, end quote, the first analyst texted back.
As if the New York Times would be helping Flynn and Trump. But that's another story. We'll talk about that some other day. This is not a fishing expedition. That's the only thing I disagree with in all that discussion. A fishing expedition is when you open up an investigation. You don't have any real cause to open up an investigation. You then go through everything somebody has done in order to find something there that you can use against them. This wasn't a fishing expedition. This was an expedition. This was an investigation. They reopened that investigation as part of a plot to frame someone. That's very different from a fishing expedition. When they framed Flynn, they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew that he was talking to the Russian ambassador. So they reopened the investigation in order to use what he was doing in his conversations with the Russian ambassador to construct a case against him on the basis of the Logan Act. That's not a fishing expedition. That's a frame-up. And that's an important difference because fishing expeditions are oppressive, but frame-ups are conspiracies. They're worse. So, you know, let's make that distinction very, very clear. And there we go. Now, the liability insurance. I've already discussed that. I've already said how, you know, I was misdirected about that one. I should have figured out back in the summer of 2017 that it was about Flynn and indeed Crossfire Hurricane generally, not just about Manafort. That never really gelled. But anyway, now we know Now, what an extraordinary story. What a terrible scenario. Notice it's right across the whole world of intelligence. People were seriously worried. They're really concerned. And what are they doing getting misconduct insurance? What are they doing? Surely they shouldn't be getting misconduct insurance. If they feel that this investigation is wrong, then they should be refusing to participate in them. They are violating, I presume, FBI and CIA officers and analysts swear oaths. They should be resigning. They should be complaining to the Inspector General of their respective agencies. They should be refusing to have anything to do with this thing. Not carrying out misconduct insurance. If these people are ever sued, which they should be, then if I was the insurance company that sold them those policies, I would refuse to fund their defenses. Because frankly, those people should never have sought that kind of cover at all.
On U.S. taxpayers'
money. On U.S. taxpayers' money, exactly. I mean, to me, I mean, that's, again, so inappropriate and wrong at so many levels. But the fact that they did it, I mean, obviously they knew that what they were doing was wrong, but they didn't just know that they were doing was wrong. They were taking steps to protect themselves when they were found out on the money, as you said, of U.S. taxpayers.
All right, let's wrap it up here with some more. God, we're going to have to do another video on this, maybe a live stream. Some more information. Real quick, this is from Sidney Powell. The explosive messages were attached to a new filing by Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, who argued to the court that it is considering dismissing her client's guilty plea, that the emails show, and I quote, "stunning government misconduct and wrongful prosecution." A hearing is scheduled for next Tuesday. Quote, "there was no case against General Flynn," Powell wrote in the new motion. Quote, "there was no crime. The FBI and the prosecutors knew that. The American hero and his entire family have suffered for 4 years from public abuse, slander, libel, and all means of defamation at the hands of the very government he pledged his life to defend." That's a quote cited from Just the News. A tweet from Sean Davis. I believe Sean Davis is at The Federalist. I believe he is the editor at The Federalist. It says, he says this, "it's even worse than that. Many of the bogus allegations were themselves leaked by the FBI and DOJ personnel, who then used the stories produced from their own illegal leaks to justify further illegal investigative efforts." Going off of that, we turn to Sarah Carter. The title of her article is, "McCabe allegedly at the center of Durham's probe as new info reveals dossier source was a suspected Russian agent." In a bombshell letter released Tuesday night by Graham's committee from Justice Department Attorney General William Barr revealed a declassified summary from the Bureau indicating that former British spy Christopher Steele's primary subsource in his debunked dossier was believed to be a Russian spy. Not only was the subsource believed to be a spy, but the FBI knew about it and had conducted a counterintelligence on the individual. Everything I have just said, from Sean Davis's tweet to this headline from Sarah Carter, these guys were just a bunch of sinister but bumbling fools. They were sinister. Yes. They were devious. They were pure evil, but they are a bunch of bumbling fools, Alexander.
Well, of course they were. And can I just say once again, when you going back to the point I made before about this not being a fishing expedition, that's a misuse of words. When they're actually leaking information, using those leaks as reasons then to go on and conduct further investigations and basis of further investigations, that's not a fishing expedition. That, again, is a frame-up. Frame-ups are the kind of things that, you know, corrupt people do. I mean, if you, again, watch spy movies and police thrillers, I like to watch police thrillers, especially, you know, going all the way back to The Untouchables, you learn lots about frame-ups there. This is a frame-up. They actually happen in real life. This is the mother and father of all frame-ups. This is, I mean, this is off the scale, and it's plotted against the national security advisor of the president of the United States to be, and the person who becomes the national security advisor of the president of the United States, and ultimately against the president of the United States. This is a plot against the constitutional government of the United States. I can't, you know, put it more simply. We've been saying this now for weeks. All the evidence is pouring out now. It's pouring out at an accelerating pace. Now, about, you know, the famous, primary subsource. This is Mr. Danchenko, if I remember his name rightly. And now it turns out, I mean, I don't know whether this man was a Russian spy. I doubt it somehow, but, you know.
The FBI definitely
knew him. The FBI, exactly. The FBI thought he was. The FBI was thought he was. And they, and you know, they get a dossier from Steele, which is primarily based on what this man is saying. I mean, there's more evidence, by the way, that's been coming out, which is that apparently there was a CIA. This is the CIA now. CIA analysts were telling Brennan, director of the CIA, that actually there's no evidence. We don't believe that the Russians wanted Trump to win. Because Trump was this wild card, unknown quantity. He wanted to increase spending on the military. The Russians have, you know, long-standing relations with Hillary Clinton. She's a known quantity. They prefer her to win. By the way, that to some extent corresponds with what my impression was on the one occasion that, you know, I heard anything about the election from the Russians when I attended the SPIEF conference in St. Petersburg in 2016. Everybody there, and I was hearing, you know, top Russian officials, everybody there was expecting Hillary Clinton to win, and they were looking forward to working with her. Putin himself said so. He said, I work with her husband, Bill Clinton. I know that she's not the bad person that people say she is. And I know that people say hard things, harsh things during the campaign trail, which they don't mean to work, you know, do when they actually gain office. And a very well-connected Russian journalist who is based in the United States, he's actually a US citizen, Dmitry Symes, recently wrote an article in which he said the same thing. He'd heard from his Russian sources that actually the Russians wanted Hillary Clinton to win. Trump was an unknown quantity and they didn't know anything about him, and therefore they didn't trust him. And that's what the CIA analysts at the time were telling Brennan, but it didn't suit Brennan's agenda, so he excluded it. He excluded it from the famous, the notorious intelligence community assessment. So, you know, the whole picture is starting to come together. We are looking, as I said, at a plot. It wasn't a plot hatched in Russia. There's a plot hatched in the United States, perhaps in Britain, probably in Britain to a great extent. And whose intention, perhaps Ukraine to some extent, perhaps to a great extent, in order to prevent Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. And if he did become president of the United States, to remove him from office and to obstruct his presidency from the moment he was elected. And the extraordinary thing is, we've now heard, this has been a day, by the way, of news revelations coming, pouring in from all sides. We now learn that Dan Coats, who was Donald Trump's own director of national intelligence, apparently was going around saying to people that he thought that the Russians had something on Trump, when he had all the evidence to know that this wasn't true. And it seems that Christopher Wray, who, note, is still director of the FBI, appointed to that job by Donald Trump himself, has apparently, long after everything was discredited, continued to give credence to these stories. So there is a deep state in the United States. That deep state has been plotting against the president of the United States. We have it now all on record. We now have all their emails and their texts and their discussions with each other. And they were connected to the Democrats. We have all that information too. They were relying on dodgy dossiers prepared by obsessively anti-Russian British ex-spies paid for by Hillary Clinton. Those ex-spies were working with possible Russian spies, Mr. Danchenko, who has repudiated what the dossier says. I mean, really, of course we need this thing to be investigated. Of course we need indictments. Will it be? This is one of the most terrible scandals in the history of the United States. It's the worst scandal in the history of the United States. And the media is complicit about this because, you know, they were all supposedly worried about a leak to the New York Times. The New York Times is an accessory to this plot, as was the Washington Post, as was CNN, as were MSNBC, as were all of them. I mean, perhaps not a knowing accessory. Maybe they didn't know all the details, though I do wonder. But, you know, they were, in effect, involved. And we, you know, for the sake of the United States, we said this so often, so many times, this thing needs to be exposed and brought to the light of day. And all of those implicated and involved need to be brought to account for the very serious, I'm going to call them crimes, they committed. Framing an innocent man, which is what Flynn is and always has been, in order to engineer the eventual removal of the President of the United States, is or should be a very serious crime.
All right, we're going to be doing a lot more videos on this as information comes out. More information comes out. This is explosive stuff, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe. Share this video. Please share this video. Let's get the news out about what is going on. This scandal goes all the way to the top. We called it way in the beginning that it was Obama and his Oval Office. And
the paper trail. The paper trail is now there. Not all of it. I'm guessing we have about 10% of it. The 90% of it is still submerged, but it's coming, it's pouring out now, and there'll be more and more and more as the weeks pass.
Go to the Duran shop, everybody. Pick up some merchandise. Help out this channel. We are working hard to get the news to you. And PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Please subscribe
absolutely.
Or donate and help us out there.
Here we are. Here's the mug, our Duran mug with the flag of the United States, the great republic whose constitution and system of government has been subverted. I use that word again carefully. In this extraordinary way, you will find lots of things in our shop, but I think perhaps given the serious nature of what we've been discussing, we won't promote it as we sometimes do. But do come to our shop, buy things that you find there, and support our channel, because it's not easy for us to do what we do. But I would repeat what Alex just said. We got it right. We were reporting it right. We were reporting it right from the outset. We've been running into many difficulties for doing so. But by coming to our shop, you make it possible for us to continue to do so.
You'll find a link to the shop in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.